as observant Jews, we are obligated to follow "You shall love the stranger," which is reiterated in a variation an astonishing 36 times.
Don't oppress the stranger, love the stranger. It does not say love your children, because that's obvious, that comes easily. So when something has to be repeated this many times, it's difficult.
On In Good Faith, we believe that all faith traditions have something to teach us about how God is working in the world and in our lives. So join us as we listen and learn. Today on In Good Faith, this is a real how the rubber of faith meets the road. You're laughing at me.
This is your favorite idiom.
Is it?
You use rubber hits the road a lot, Steve. Well, it makes me giggle.
I'm just saying, Heather Bigley, senior producer of In Good Faith, that
hello.
Today the rubber meets the road yet again in our continuing series of road trips.
I'm glad the rubber is on the road.
Thank you.
It means also, we move forward.
Also, hoping that he can save us from this discussion is producer James Sturdivant.
Am I saying hello, hello? Is
that you? Yes, please, that's you. Okay, that's you.
Hello, hello. I wasn't sure what was going on.
none of us are. Today, our guests, as you heard in the very beginning, are a husband and wife. This is Mark and Rabbi Erica Gerson. And they've partnered with people of other faiths to accomplish an immense amount of good. And I love hearing about their motivations and how they quickly recognized that this was the easiest and even most effective way to accomplish a bunch of good.
Yeah, Mark co-founded African Mission Healthcare, and then with his wife, they founded the L'Chaim Prize, an annual award for outstanding Christian medical missionary service. And this is the thing that just makes us feel so glad to know these people, is that they're out there supporting really important work being done no matter the faith of either the medical expert or the person receiving the care.
Yeah, and that it's going to come up that we are defined by what we do daily, and they'll explain more about this. But my favorite line, and I hope you listen for it, is for people we've never met but who don't feel like strangers and the journey to get there.
Yep. So Mark is going to discuss the origins of African Mission Healthcare as we get into this interview.
So in about 2001, my closest friend from college, Dr. John Fielder, he was graduating from the Hopkins residency program. And he called me and he said, as you know, I'm a Christian. I feel called to go serve those whom the book of Matthew calls the least among us. In this case, it's those being ravaged and dying of HIV and AIDS in Africa. So John went to Kenya, where he served and still serves as a Christian medical missionary. And in the course of his service, he identified what he regarded and taught us is the most pressing humanitarian problem in the world, which is the lack of access to medical care of any kind for almost everybody in Africa. And he said, this does not need to be, because there are people on the ground who are providing excellent care, but they're underfunded, under-resourced, and often simply ignored. And in 2010, we co-founded African Mission Healthcare, whose purpose is to partner with Christian medical missionaries at Christian hospitals throughout Africa to provide clinical care for the poor, to build infrastructure that might be oxygen, it might be housing, to do training of African medical professionals, and sometimes to do hospital administration.
Well, it sounds like you really tried to avoid reinventing the wheel, partnering with where there was at least a beginning of an organization there already.
Yeah, exactly. There were all these Christian medical missionaries throughout Africa doing quite literally God's work, but they had no consistent source of support. They had no reliable source of partnership. So we thought to form African Mission Healthcare to be that source of support and to be that partner for them in all that they do.
We strongly discourage people starting organizations, nonprofits. There's way too many of them. So generally, you're absolutely onto it that it's not the most effective way to steward resources, because for every organization, you need a huge infrastructure. But in this particular case, it became clear that people who had the gifts of being able to deliver medical care should not be then using their time going back to America to try to fundraise and build those relationships and all the other things that are needed. It was just a terrible allocation of someone who was willing to serve in Africa to have them trying to go back and do all of that. So this was a really strategic decision that there was a benefit to having an organizational overlay on this.
I'd like to ask each of you, I'll start with you, Rabbi Erica, Do you feel that your faith is connected with this work? Is that part of the motivation?
Definitely. And I think the question people always have is, what's going on here? Why are you funding Christian missionaries? What is this all about? And another layer on that is Jews funding Christians who are serving people of all faiths. And that's really important too. And I would say our faith is in many ways intertwined with this. Mm-hmm. One of the ways is that our experience and our witnessing of what these Christians do because of their faith has deepened my sense of what it means to be a believer, to feel called and in relationship with God, and to feel an obligation toward what we call in our faith mitzvot, which is commandments. So seeing how they live their life of faith, and it's not about how many Christians can I make. That's really not the day-to-day of being a Christian medical missionary. It's how can I live in a way that Jesus would have lived to take care of the poor and the needy. And so for us, the fact that it happens to be Christians taking care of other people, some of whom at some point may feel called to faith, is additive and in some ways incidental. And our Jewish faith is calling us to love the stranger. And this is a very meaningful way that we're able to do that because we give them the resources, which is what we were blessed with, and they use their talents, which they were blessed with.
The medicines have no denomination.
Right, right. And it's important for people to know, no one is asked when they walk in for services, you know, who are you? What's your faith? There is absolutely no place in the giving of the medical care.
Mm. Right. And I would say as observant Jews, we are obligated to follow what Erica quoted from the Torah, which is you shall love the stranger, which is reiterated in a variation, an astonishing 36 times. Mm. So we're obligated to fulfill it. And when we think, how can we best fulfill our Jewish commandment to love the stranger, the single best way to do it is through supporting Christian medical missionaries at Christian hospitals in Africa.
It seems like 36 repetitions would sort of be making an important point.
Exactly.
In fact, it's actually the most repeated. There are slight variations, don't oppress the stranger, love the stranger, things like that. But Mark likes to say, and I think says it very well, it does not say love your children. Because that's obvious, that comes easily. So when something has to be repeated this many times, it's difficult. When I think about the challenges of raising the funds for African healthcare, and it is difficult, I don't think it's that Americans aren't generous. But the generosity is there, but this barrier of the stranger who doesn't look like you, who doesn't live like you, who's so far away that you can't see yourself in their life, it makes it harder to feel as called to take care of that person as the person who reminds you of your cousin or who's from the town or who's friends with someone that you know. And so I think there's a challenge there that we try to rise to of knowing that we are as morally obligated to the child that fell out of a tree in Africa or the person who was in a car accident or the woman who needs an emergency C-section there as we would to someone in our own neighborhood.
I want to ask about a way that you took this one step further that can influence not only your own organization, but others, which is the Rabbi Erica and Mark Gerson L'Chaim Prize, an annual award for outstanding Christian medical missionary service. So here's a step further. And what did you want to accomplish with that? And what's happened? How long have you been doing that?
So the original inspiration for it was a column that Nick Kristof wrote in the New York Times in 2015 about Dr. Tom Katina, who is the best man in the world. And so Nick traveled to the Nuba Mountains where Tom serves. And Nick did this magnificent profile of Tom. And we told Nick, and he published it, that Rabbi Erica and Mark Gerson are here to match the first 100,000 raised to support Tom Katina through African Mission Healthcare. And the match was fulfilled in, I think, a day. And then we doubled it. And it was, that took another day or two. And I think we tripled it or something like that. And what we realized is that when the sacred work of these Christian medical missionaries is socialized, support does come. So we said, well, let's do a prize. And we called it the L'Chaim Prize. And L'Chaim means two lives, because the Jewish life or any of our lives cannot be lived in the singular. And so we inaugurated the L'Chaim Prize, where every year we would fund the work of an outstanding medical missionary. And so every year AMH convenes a panel of people who are deeply experienced in African healthcare and selects the missionary who will deliver the most with the $500,000. And the reports that we receive continuously about the work that these L'Chaim Prize recipients do and have done with the $500,000 is simply astonishing. I mean, the amount of lives they can save, the amount of pain they can ameliorate, the amount of opportunities for the poor they can create for $500,000 is genuinely unbelievable. It would be unbelievable, except we have the data.
Yeah.
And they do it. So the goal in establishing the prize was first to enable these remarkable individuals to do more of their work in serving the poor, and also to give them an imprimatur established by AMH in conjunction with this panel of experts that they can take elsewhere and use it to receive funding and support and partnership from all kinds of others who can feel comfortable that they have been selected as the outstanding Christian medical missionary of that year.
Particularly in Africa, a lot of people who want to give and make a difference worry that their philanthropic resources might be squandered because it's just so far away and it's so unmanageable and they don't have the personal connection. So one of the goals of African Mission Healthcare is to really be that landing page where people who want to know that if they put resources into Africa, that they will be well shepherded. And so again, with the prize too, it's a way of saying, hey, we've checked this person out, we've vetted them, and the very best people who live in this area and know the constraints of trying to deliver healthcare in this area have confirmed that they really can do what they're saying that they can do, and they have the track record and the commitment to do it in the long term. The other thing is, when we think about philanthropy, there's the immediate needs, which are really important. So you do have to fix the broken bone today or deliver the baby today or give the surgery today, but you also want to build for the future. And in Africa, unlike in America, $500,000 is enough for a multi-year plan with significant build-out of a health institution. So being able to train multiple anesthetists who can then build out surgical capacity or build multiple surgical theaters enables the doctors and their institutions to think more seriously about how to build capacity for the long term. So it's really exciting. I think if you have any listeners who have the ability to give 5- and 6-figure gifts, what you can do with that in the African context is really incredible.
I mean, it costs an average of $384 to do a surgery through African Mission Healthcare. So for an average of $384, obviously that means sometimes less, anyone can repair the broken leg of a child who fell, can enable a woman who needs a C-section to get it, can help a man working in the field who developed a hernia to get it repaired, and just completely save or transform a life for an objectively small amount of money.
I just wonder if you could tell us a few of the people and the projects that were winners and what they accomplished, what they tried to do.
Thank you so much for asking. So first of all, I want to make clear, Mark and I play no role in selecting the winners. Mm-hmm. With that said, my son and I had the great joy this summer of visiting someone who's become a good friend, the Rhodes family, Dr. Bill Rhodes and his wife, Laura, and their extended family at this point. They have children who've already gone on to medical school and come back to serve as well. They are in the mountains in Kapsuar, Kenya, and they're building a separate new building that's going to be an ICU. And what his daughter-in-law, who is an ICU-trained nurse, was explaining to me is that what they really need more than the building is a cultural change in training. And what they found was that when an American came for a year and tried to implement a nursing project to change some of the nursing protocols, it had absolutely no staying power. She had all the right protocols written in. She went through the explanation. She taught everyone, and none of it stuck. And then they realized, okay, we're going to do this experiment and create an ICU where we start from scratch. And they have a whole different method now of how they will, over a long period of time, with a lot of hands-on training and a lot of patience, they will shift the culture to improve the level of care. That's the kind of sustainable difference that they can make because they're in this for decades and not for months or even years.
If anyone wants to know how to live a life of faith, one needs to look no further than the Rhodes family. So Bill is a surgeon, and like most of the missionary surgeons in Africa, I think maybe all the ones we work with, Bill does every kind of surgery. There's no specialization because there are few other surgeons around. So Bill does all kinds of surgeries, but in terms of his family, he raised his family in Kapsuar, serving the poor and building the institution that will enable more services to the poor in the future. And he did it in full partnership with his remarkable wife, Laura, and all of their children and all of their children-in-laws are also Christian medical missionaries.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Because of our focus with In Good Faith and talking of people of all different faiths, and often how they work together and sometimes trying to figure out why we don't, like we could. You're an example of making this work. You mentioned people asking, why do this? But have you received some serious pushback?
I mean, quite the opposite. I mean, we Jews have the best friends that we've ever had among so many Christians today. And we feel really blessed to be part of this really world's historic partnership and to help manifest it through the work of African Mission Healthcare. But everyone who's familiar with our work, and the more people who can be familiar and perhaps inspired to join us in supporting African Mission Healthcare, the better. But everyone who knows about it has been supportive.
I mean, you're describing a benefit from working together with people of other faiths.
Oh, absolutely.
And so especially, the continent of Africa is not known as a Jewish stronghold. Let's just
we
say
have
that.
One friend who's a doctor there.
So Christianity is growing and Islam is growing. And so you really are partnering with a lot of different traditions to make that good happen. So has that influenced your own faith?
As Erica said, we've become really strengthened and deepened in our Jewish faith and Jewish conviction by working with Christian medical missionaries, because we've seen how these medical missionaries and those around them have a deep, abiding, and personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
And how everything they do is derivative of their faith. And it's really inspired us as Jews. That's why whenever one of the missionaries that we work with comes through the U.S., we'll of course see them, but we'll see them in our home, because we want our children to get to know these people. First, because they are the best people in the world. And by being the best people in the world, they're role models.
This is In Good Faith. I'm Stephen Cap Perry. Back with more in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Stephen Cap Perry, host of In Good Faith. Nothing captivates me more than people setting out on an adventure, especially if it's a place I wish I could go to or a subject I wish I knew more about, but I don't live in the right place or I don't have the equipment or the expertise. I'm telling you about a podcast from our BYU Radio family of podcasts, an award-winning podcast called Constant Wonder. With host Marcus Smith, you'll be expanding your horizons on all kinds of discovery. It could be science, it could be art, history, and more. Do you need that feeling of awe and wonder in your life more? I do, and I love it when I see how to experience that by hearing the stories of people who are doing and exploring all of those things that are so interesting to me. Check out the podcast, Constant Wonder.
You're listening to In Good Faith. We're chatting with Mark and Rabbi Erica Gerson about how their faith grows, serving alongside those of other faiths. I'm just curious about, did you each grow up in religious homes? What was your journey to where you are now? Rabbi Erica, would you have been surprised as a young girl to know that you would be a rabbi and doing what you do today, for instance?
Well, I was interested from a young age in being a rabbi. I happened to grow up in a community near a rabbinical school. And so in our version of Sunday school, in our Hebrew schools, the people who were teaching me were already on their own pathway toward the rabbinate, and seeing young, interesting people who were doing things that I was interested in put me on that path early. But I think if people look from the outside at my home and at Mark's, which were similar, you might be inclined to say, oh, they weren't very religious, but that's really not true. Mm. Our families had very strong Jewish identity. We talked about the Bible. We had the Jewish holidays. Every religion, I think, has its strengths and its weaknesses, and we do not have the same comfort of talking about God in a very personal way, in a living way, and God speaking to us and calling us. Those are words and ways of being that are not as fluid in the Jewish world, and so it's really been a blessing for us to be in close relationship with so many Christians who show us the way on that, and it's just a really wonderful additive piece on top of the good feeling that we get to change lives through our philanthropy.
Mm. Mark, in your podcast, we noticed that you talk about people's favorite verses from the Torah, from the Hebrew Bible. So I'd maybe ask each of you, I mean, this could change from month to month or experience to experience, but do each of you have a favorite verse or a passage or a story, a character?
What a great question. Erica, why don't you go first? I'm looking in the Bible here.
It's a great question, and mine has not changed. Actually, when we were finishing rabbinical school for the final ceremony, they asked us for one quote that we wanted included in the program. And it's still a favorite of mine. And it comes from Deuteronomy 30. And it says, surely this instruction, which I enjoin upon you this day, is not too baffling for you, nor is it beyond reach. It is not in the heavens that you should say, who among us can go up to the heavens and get it for us and impart it to us that we may observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who among us can cross to the other side of the sea and get it for us and impart it to us that we may observe it? No, the thing is very close to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to observe it. What I love about that is that it says at the end of the day, this is very simple. God is speaking in a plain language and is very clear about what's expected of us. And we're all capable of reaching the goals that God has set for us of the way to be in the world. And I think that when we see the way that these families, and it's always a whole family that makes this commitment to serve in Africa, and the way that they serve with such dedication. And really, I think that's why they're successful, because you can only endure all of the challenges that this landscape presents and the heartache that it presents when you have that faith to sustain you. And seeing how they just take day to day, hour to hour, the call from God to walk through this world with compassion for others and to do everything you can to heal others. Even as we call to God to be the ultimate healer, we have so much that God has put in our hands, whether it's money to support someone to do this work or the ability to be a doctor yourself and go do it. And so this quote just reminds me all the time that there's really no excuses. God has high expectations and we can meet them.
Yeah.
There's an ancient Jewish story about what we can call a verse quoting contest, where there were three rabbis in the Talmudic era, and they were each asked, what's the most important verse in the Bible? One of the rabbis said, you shall love the neighbor as yourself. Another rabbi said something else, I forgot what. And the third rabbi said, Exodus 29:38, one lamb you shall offer in the morning and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Everyone's like, well, why is that the most important verse in the Bible? And he said, because it's what you do every day. It's what you do all the time. It's what you do in the morning and in the evening that defines who you are. And apparently the judges all said he wins. That's the most important verse in the Bible. And I think he did win and should have won, because we're defined by what we do all the time. We're characterized by the routines we set and how we follow up on them. And I think that has a profound application towards charitable giving. I mean, if someone gives once a year, it's really not a part of who they are and what they do. Where if someone gives every day or every week, perhaps right before the Sabbath, it is a part of who they are and what they do and what they think about. And then what they think about influences their action, which defines who they are.
Yeah. I think you have partially answered this already, but I love to ask people what brings them the biggest joy in their faith.
The Torah talks about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Leading the rabbis to ask, why does it just say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why the additional two ofs? And the answer is because everyone connects with God in a different way. So there's the God of, obviously there's one God, but Abraham connected him in one way, Isaac connected with it in another way, and Jacob connected in a third way, and each of us connect in different ways. So some people connect to God through prayer. Some people connect to God through service. Some people connect to God through study. Some people connect to God in fellowship. And I think all believers will discover how they best connect to God. I think it's a real joy to discover, what way do I connect with God? Because there's definitely going to be a way. There's always a pathway to God that he designed specifically for you. So I think everyone should find out what is that way. It won't be hard to figure out and just go with it.
I really like that because it tells me, first of all, that however I make that connection is okay. And also that I can celebrate the other people who have other ways and be glad they have that.
And we need all the ways to connect with God, but all the ways to connect with God are not going to be within one person.
Amen to that. To be really honest and transparent, what jumps to mind in this moment is that it's really a joy, and this is going to feel unexpected, it's a joy to be part of the Jewish people in this difficult time. Right. To have been given this gift to be part of this eternal people that has walked through history and is continuing through history, looking back and looking forward, and through the lows and the highs, doing that with a sense of God in this with us is extremely meaningful. And to be in relationship with so many people, there's something interconnected that we understand as Jews about our fate with others who we may have never met but don't feel like strangers. And I think the world would be a better place if more people could have that sense of brotherhood and sisterhood that we are blessed to have because of having been born into the Jewish people.
That was Mark and Rabbi Erica Gerson talking about how they loved the stranger alongside Christian missionaries serving in Africa. And something that stood out to me about their experience was something that I experienced myself serving as a missionary is working alongside people of other faiths tends to help more people in a much bigger way than you could do on your own. I served in a Catholic food bank, and they loved us there. And they would just be like, bring all the missionaries you can, and we would share just kind of our faith generally in Jesus Christ, but also just our want and desire to serve other people. And there was no effort on them to be like, you're wrong. And there was no effort on our end to be like, you're wrong. Serving alongside each other helped us both realize that there's something we're both doing that is right.
Rabbi Erica pointed out how much she had been strengthened in her own faith by seeing the commitment of these particular missionaries, medical missionaries. So their main purpose is for the health and well-being of people. And so they felt that it was perfectly legitimate to partner together to accomplish this great good. They established this prize, which has just amplified that good. It doesn't mean they had to give up anything of their own faith and tradition. In fact, as they shared some favorite verses from the Torah and traditions, you can tell they are deeply in that tradition, and their good that they're doing grows out of that. That inspires me.
I have to admit, anytime I hear this kind of story, I'm humbled because I think, how have I wasted my life? Oh, I wanted to be a writer. There are people out there truly saving lives, truly bringing comfort and goodness to the lives of the most destitute and the most needed. And in fact, the other morning, I was getting ready for work and I thought, you know, I need to get into a nursing program because when I retire, I want to serve a medical mission for the church. I'm not real good with blood, so I'm not sure if that was just Heather disassociating in front of the mirror or if that was the spirit. But I've had these moments where I think, yeah, you're having fun and you're doing good things, but are you doing the most good you could do? I don't know. Is that what I was supposed to take away from this interview, Steve?
Or I think that any of us, as they mentioned, could contribute, for instance. That's always a start with whatever we're doing. And it doesn't always have to be. In fact, if we wait until we can serve someone an ocean away, we will not do the good that's next door to us.
Okay, thank you for being wise.
And I love this line I mentioned at the very beginning, the people we've never met, but who don't feel like strangers to us. How to become a person who feels that way about just people in general. I've had glimpses of that. I really love it. And I just have to squeeze in one thing that was very encouraging to me. Over the course of a lifetime, I've gone through times of thinking, why does God speak so clearly to so-and-so? Mm-hmm. They say, and then God told me this. Or and these are people of all different faiths. And I think, I'm listening. I'm asking.
Right.
I'm trying. Where is it? And Mark talked about all the connecting points. He said prayer, and he said serving. He said fellowship, and that each of us finds our connecting point, and that they're very individual. We need all of them, and we need each other because of the different ways there. And I think I've become a lot more calm about the ways, maybe even small ways, that I do feel that connection. Many thanks to Mark and Rabbi Erica Gerson for speaking with us today. This episode was produced by Heather Bigley. Our production team includes Aaliyah Ebert, Leah King, Katerina Martinich, Josh Orton, and James Sturdivant. Our post-production sound designers are Mark Hansen and Lauren Sandberg. In Good Faith is committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. If you want to promote interfaith understanding in the world, be sure and leave a comment or review where you get your podcasts on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple. That helps spread the word. Find us on Twitter, In Good Faith Pod, Instagram and Facebook, In Good Faith Podcast, and our YouTube page is youtube.com/in-good-faith. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry. I hope you join us again soon, right here in Good Faith.
I'm Stephen Cap Perry, host of In Good Faith.
We have another podcast in our BYU Radio family of podcasts. It's called The Appleseed. It's a way to take a journey anytime you would like with stories. Nationally known storytellers telling everything from folktales and fairy tales, personal stories, and family tales. It's a great way to get everybody laughing or thinking about some particular topic, and it almost always leads to conversations in the family. If you hit pause after a story and say, what did you think about that? And boy, what does that remind you of? That is a fun time to get to share each other's stories. And that's what The Appleseed does. Check out the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.